Baptist Church. We have guests with us today from Bakersfield, California, Brother Art and Christina Shirez. And Art's going to get up here and lead us in prayer in a few moments. And they have been, his family and my family are very closely gathered up together, you might say. Art's brother, Raymond Hernandez, they've been my students since when? In the 70s, I guess, 1970s. And Art's got the ministry. He'll tell you a little bit about that. He's going to get up here and lead us in prayer, and I'll have him tell you a little bit about what he's doing. And then we're going to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and look at this by request. Brother Art wanted me to expound on this, and I'm going to do it from the Greek language because English does not suffice in this area. Brother Art, you want to get up here and lead us in prayer, please, brother?
Hi, my name is Arthur Shirez. I've been a believer now for like 35 years. Me and my wife were involved with the Youth for Christ. We do a Bible ministry study at the detention center over there at Crossroads in Bakersfield. We do that every Sunday. I'm also been involved with Valley Baptist bus ministry, and we attend Valley Baptist. I've been a bus driver now for 33 years. I also do a Bible study at my house every other Saturday. It's good to be working for the Lord and sharing what God has given to me through Brother Jim and my brother Raymond and just people all through my life. So anyways, I've got a prayer request that we got this ahead of time. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, God, for just being a part of our lives. We thank you for the hope that you give us, the assurance, the conviction of knowing you. We thank you for the salvation you bring to each and every one of us from above. And we praise you, God, and we thank you for all that you do for us. We bring for you right now Sharon, and we just pray to God you be with Griffin, her grandson, still not born. Creation is awesome, God, because it comes from you. You have a hand in every detail of our life, down to the DNA. The color eyes we're going to have, the hair, the character we're going to be, is all put there together in the DNA at the time of conception. So we just pray that you be with a mother and Griffin and just be with them, that the pregnancy will be a glorious, victorious celebration. We also want to continue to pray for Annabelle, that the Lord will just be with her and touch her and guide her and direct her. Father God, we as your children, we always go to you for help, because when things are impossible for mankind here on earth, which goes on every day, we know who to run to. We know who to go to. We call you Abba Father because you have the power and the glory and the might to just speak it, touch it. You're involved in our lives, and we can go to you, and you can perform the supernatural in all our lives, and you have done so far with all of us. We want to pray that you be with Adam. He's traveling to Tehachapi. We just pray that you give him a safe flight, and continue to be with him spiritually and guide him and direct him. All of us, when it comes to spiritual walk, need your help. I mean, we, even though that we're believers, we have the Adamic nature in us, and we struggle with that, and we need your help with our speech, our behavior, our walk, and just the areas we fall short. But the best part about that, God, is that even though we are sinners saved by grace, it's going to come a day that we get to see you face to face, and we are so waiting for that day. We want to pray for Jim. He has gone through a horrible time here with the propane leak that caused his ear problems. It caused his overall health. We just pray, dear God, that you would just intervene with all the stuff that he has to go through to try to get this rectified. It's something that should have never happened, but it did. We just are grateful that Marilyn was not affected by the propane leak that happened here in his house. We also pray that you be with the tumor that he has with his in his left ear, behind his left ear. When it comes to a tumor, God, that's very serious because that's in the brain area. And we pray that you would be with the doctors, the many doctors that will be involved with the surgery, the nurses, the anesthesiologists. But most of all, God, we know that you will be involved with the overall procedure. You've allowed Jim to be on this earth for one reason, and that is to continue to proclaim your word. There's a pastor a while back that said that an individual can become invincible, can become immortal, going about doing your work. And when we're done, you will take us home. Jim is proving himself to be a warrior for you by sharing his word on discovertheword.com and being a pastor and a teacher and being an influence in all our lives. He was responsible for me getting saved because the Bible says that when you throw a rock into the palm, it does a ripple effect. And the ripple effect hit Raymond. And it hit Irene. And Irene was the one that came to my house and got me to go to church on a Wednesday night. All because of Jim. And you have used each and every one of us all through our lives growing up spiritually to touch other people's lives. And that's our mission, and that's our goal, and that's our purpose, is to hear your word to grow, but not just to keep it, but to share it, to do Bible studies, to do ministries, to go out there and live and behave the way you want us to behave. And that's, pray, Father God, that we continue to do that with all of us. We want to pray for Marilyn. She's got a heart condition, and she has to, you know, get around breathing oxygen because of her heart. We also pray, dear God, you continue to be with her and touch her. You know, she's been on this earth for a lot of years, Father God, and we're praying that there'll be a lot more years that she can continue to enjoy your blessings, enjoy your presence, enjoy your conviction. And we just pray, Father God, just somehow, just speak to her heart, touch it. You are called the great physician. When you touch something, it is done. It is finished. It is healed. We're praying that for everybody that I prayed for and that I've asked. Because when you're involved, Father God, nothing can go wrong. Nothing can touch us. Me and my wife had made plans to go to the Philippines 2 weeks ago, but a problem happened where we couldn't go. That's okay. And we're just praying that you would be with me as I make plans to have the surgery on my left shoulder, get it done, and try to figure out a day that when we can go. And, you know, go meet her family. My wife's been here a little over 8 years, and she has not seen her family. Thank God that, you know, she's able to communicate with them, you know, with Facebook Messenger and talk with her mom and her sisters, and that really helps her out a lot. So, Father God, I just want to end this prayer by saying, be with Jim as he takes the podium, as he becomes your servant, obedient to your call to preach and present your word to a lost and dying generation. And I thank you, God, and I praise you. And we love you. Forgive us we have failed you. We ask this in your Son's name, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Law. Brother Art asked, I asked him if he had any questions or things on here. They come up here to discover the word Missionary Baptist Church, and I always ask you, do you have any questions? Do you have any something you want me to teach about? And so Brother Art wanted me to teach on Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we look at this often. Ephesians 6th chapter. I'm going to read it to you from Greek, as far as the translation from Greek, because English is too weak here. It's just too weak. And the title of this from 6:10 through 20 is The War Against Evil. War Against Evil. And this is a war. Now, wars are something that are elongated. They're protracted. A war covers a long period of time. Battles are short. You have a battle, and during a war, You may lose a battle, you may win a battle, but you haven't won the war. Well, one thing about this war that we're in, we're going to win it. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. That's it. We're His. No matter what happens, no matter how many times we fail or what we do, we're still His. And He is going to bring us through the war. And the war will be over. When we finish this life, the war is over. And I am going to be so thankful here. Look at this chart. You've seen me teach in front of this chart for 50 years, Brother Art. As we look here, we're in the church age right now, this period of time right here. We're probably near the end of the church age. Then comes the tribulation period. And the tribulation period upon earth is only hell on earth. In heaven, we have a wedding. The Lord and His bride and all of the saved that up to this time that have died in the Lord, all of those are going to be with Him up there at that wedding feast. Now, the bride is going to be the center of attraction. The bride is those that are faithful in that church age. This is what separates the Protestant world from the Baptist world. We know the difference between the bride and the saved. The saved are a different group than the bride. I mean, even though the bride comes from the saved, but the bride is made up of those faithful members in New Testament churches that have given their life to the Lord. I mean, just that's what they do. And that is what is requirement. I know that I am saved. I know that I'm in the family of God. But only God will place me in that bride. And that's different. Now, in this, we're talking about a spiritual war. The war is made up of many battles. And let's look at the battles. Everything it brings out in here is a certain battle. Is a certain battle. Now let's look at it. In 6 and 10, it says here, to the ones remaining. To the ones remaining. The ones remaining in the world. Be empowered. In dina muste. In dina muste. That's the word there. And that means be clothed up in power. Now, Brother Art, you have a really neat t-shirt on today. It says, Real Men Served the Lord. That's great. And then, Christina, you have a shirt on, and it says, to-do list. Love Jesus, serve others, and listen to life. These are all really good little things. There are clothing. We're clothed up in this. But more even, and Marilyn's got her a little panda dress on today and all dressed up real pretty. But we're dressed up in clothes. Your clothes have messages. But our spiritual life has a bigger message yet. Be dressed up in. Clothed in power. This power here is a dynamo or dynamis. That means we got a word dynamite from that. Now, dynamite is a very highly explosive thing. It has nitroglycerin in it. Nitroglycerin is very powerful explosive material. And even gunpowder, a lot of the magnum gunpowders especially, have a lot of nitroglycerin in them. And it doesn't take very much powder for a .44 magnum or a .357 magnum, something like that. It takes a little bit of that powder, and it makes a great big explosion, throwing a bullet out there between 1,000 and maybe 3,000 feet per second in some cases. So this type of power here, that's what we're supposed to be clothed in. And guess where it comes from? It comes from the Lord. Being dressed up and empowered in Kyrio, in the Lord, and in the might. And the word might here is krate. The word might here is something We're talking about supernatural might here. We have a lot of bodybuilders in the world today. That's very. You go to the gym a lot of times, don't you, Art? I think you do that. Maybe Christina. And you go there and you see these guys that eat this very strict diet, and mostly it's mixed up powders and stuff. Some of them don't hardly eat anything else. And they're eating these powders or maybe taking steroids and all this type of stuff, and their muscles are just gigantic. They just ripple all over the place, and they're very strong. That's the word might there. Might. Of the strength of Him. In the might of the strength of Him. Now, Jesus came into this world. This is probably going to be more than one message, by the way. Jesus came into this world. Now, Jesus in the Old Testament is Jehovah. Jehovah. And Jehovah means what, Marilyn? Sharon?
He who shall become.
He who shall become. Jehovah in the Old Testament. Now, He's God, isn't He? This is the one that said to Moses, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And He said, tell them that I am has sent you. I am has sent you. Asher, Ahya, Asher. I am that I am, in Hebrew. He said, you tell them that I sent you. Now, in the might of the strength of Him, Jehovah now, He came into this world. This is God. But you know that Jesus Christ laid aside all of His creative powers and everything when He came into this world? He came into this world as a little baby. As a helpless little baby. The one who shall become. In John 1:1 and 1:14 and 1:18 it says, in beginning kept on being the Word. That Word is Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead, the second sentence in John 1:1, because Jehovah kept on being God, or the Word is Jehovah. That's a Hebraism. And then John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos arx agenito, and the Word, or the Jehovah, fleshy became, we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being, and that word there is un in the Greek, and that one is present, participle, active. It is a to-be verb, but it is constantly the one being in the bosom of the Father. That one has led Himself out for Himself. Jehovah brought Himself into the world. And He brought Himself into the world as a little child. But even as a little child, angels protected Him. His mother protected Him. His father in the world, which was Joseph, protected Him. And He followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And He went down into Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. He came back up after Herod was dead. He went into Nazareth, was raised there. And then when He gets up there and he announces His ministry in the assembly place, in the synagogue where he grew up, they wanted to kill Him. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears and your hearing. And what He said is that I am Him. I am the great I am. I am the Messiah. I am the HaMashiach. Now, the devil is our accuser, and the devil in Matthew, the 4th chapter, was Jesus' accuser, too, wasn't he? Now, he's 30 years old. He's going into his ministry. He announces his ministry in his local synagogue where he grew up, and they want to kill him, the devil. They wanted to kill Him because they were inspired by Satan. Satan inspired Herod to want to kill Him. Herod was an imposter, a toad sitting on the throne of Israel when Joseph should have been on the throne. Joseph, Jesus, Mary's husband. Mary's husband. So the devil is our accuser, just like it wasn't Jesus' accuser. He's our adversary, he's our enemy, he's our tempter, he's a murderer, he's a liar. He's called a lion, roaring, seeking whom I am able to devour, and 1 Peter 5:8. He was our tempter, Matthew 4 and 3. Murderer, John 8, 44. He's called the serpent in Genesis 3 and verse 1. And Nahash in Revelation 12 and verse 9 also. He's called the angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. He's called the god of this age in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. He's called Lucifer in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. We find out that eternity past, when God had created, the world was created, the world, the universe was created in eternity past, not in space and time. Right up here, not 20 miles from where we're sitting right now, are the oldest trees in the world. There are trees up there that are over 6,000 years old. You go back and they go back into 12 and 15,000 years. Those trees were here in eternity past when Satan rebelled. Those trees were there in Noah's flood. And they're still there. Down here, not very far from, about 7 to 8 miles down here, 7 miles probably, is a petrified forest down there. That was here during the floods and all of this. You see the archaeology of this area in here is unbelievable in the diversity of it and what you can see. You can see God's, you can go back in eternity past and look at these things, different evidences of that here in this area. You can see when Satan rebelled. You can see these things. Well, Satan is still very active today, isn't he? He is like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5 and 8. He's walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And most of them are children of God that he is trying to devour. In his might and in his strength. And all of the might and all the strength belong to God. It's not ours. We don't do anything in our strength. I'm up here serving the Lord right now in His strength, not mine. Verse number 11 now. In disaste tain pon plion tu theu pros to dinaste himas stene pros tas methodias tu diabolu. Now, some of those words you recognized in there because they're in Spanish also. It says, you all here, it's that second person plural, first aorist, indicative, or imperative middle, that is. He said, and it's a command. God is commanding us this. This is something He's telling us to do. Be dressed up in again, it says. Be dressed up in again, the whole armor, the panoplion. The whole armor, the complete armor. Now, the armor of God. And it goes on and tells you what the pieces of that armor are. And the, all of the armor belonging to God. Not you. Not your armor. I want you to understand one thing too. When Adam was in the garden, God told Adam to guard that garden. Now Adam was a supernatural creature at that time. You know that? Yes. He was never going to die. He had powers that we don't even know about. And he had powers to stand against Satan's. He told him to guard the garden. You think he'd tell him to guard the garden with a toothpick or a 300 Magnum? He told him to guard the garden, and he gave him the power to do it. He gave him the power to guard that garden. He said, guard the garden. Guard the garden against what? Now, the word garden, Garden of Eden, It means a palace. It talks about the beauties and the dainties of a palace that word Eden does. And there were two Edens in the Bible. Did you know that? Two Edens in the Bible. One Eden was back in eternity path, and guess who set in that Eden? Eden as the supreme caretaker of it. Lucifer. And Lucifer fell, and he destroyed his whole habitat where he was supposed to be taken on. He was over the material creation of God. And he destroyed what God made him, put him over, and rebelled against God. Well, when the second Eden was created, when God created Eden the second time, and that was a great big garden there, Christina. You like gardening. It was a beautiful garden. It didn't have any weeds in it. No weeds. You know that the flowers didn't have thorns on them. Nothing there was hazardous to your health at all. Now we go organic. It was a totally organic garden, okay, with nothing. There's no sin here. No sin in this garden at all. Nothing wrong there. But Satan had access to it. Like a roaring lion, he goes seeking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Now, God created Adam directly. Secondarily, he created woman, Isha. Adam is Adam, okay, and it means belonging to the earth. To the earth, he was created from the same materials that the earth is created from, not from dirt, but from the same materials, base materials. In mankind, you'll find all kinds of minerals and atomic structure that is in the earth, related to the earth. God didn't take dirt and make man. He took the same materials that he created the dirt from and made Adam. And he placed him in that garden. And it says that he gave him all the animals, and Adam named all the birds of the field, the fish, everything else. And by the way, they were all his friends. They were his companions. But it said, God said that he felt sorry for man because he did not have a companion that was worthy of him. He didn't have a companion worthy of him. And so God put Adam in a deep hypnotic trance. The word there in Greek is hypnosis. That's what we get a hypnosis is. In some places in the world today, they are still using hypnosis as anesthesia. Well, he put him in a hypnotic trance, and he took from him not a rib. Not a rib. The word there in Hebrew is sides. Now, he took from him fleshes, bloods, and bones. Fleshes, bloods, and bones. He took and divided, took from Adam fleshes, blood, and bone, and he made a woman. Woman means what? Out of man. Out of man. He made woman out of man. So here we have secondary creation. Woman is created out of man. Man is created from the same elements that created the heavens, the earth. And woman is created from man. And then he puts them together in marriage. And they are clothed in the glory of God. They didn't have any clothes on like we had with threads, you know. But they're clothed with the glory of God. They're not naked, but they are naked as far as looking at them goes, but they're clothed in the glory of God, and they're clothed in innocence. And he tells Adam, now he didn't tell the woman this, he told Adam, because he's the primary creation of God. He told Adam, you're the boss here now. You care for her, and you protect her, and protect what you've been over. You protect what you've been over. And he gave him the power to do it. But he wasn't paying attention, evidently, because he allowed Satan to come in through the snake. Now, the snake was part of the creation. But the snake loaned its body to Lucifer, or Satan. And through that snake began to communicate with the woman, Isha. And he began to get her to doubt God's word and God. And where's Adam? Adam should have been right there guarding her. Where is Adam? off picking fruit or something, petting a horse or animal, whatever. He wasn't there. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And so Satan gave to her the tree fruit, or actually it says the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they began to eat the whole tree. Gobble, 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 gobble. This is the first case of gluttony we have in the Bible. First case of gluttony. They began to eat and they kept on eating the tree, and then she gave to her husband and he kept on eating the tree. Now, did he have the power to stop all of this? Did Adam have the power? God never gives you a job to do that he doesn't give you the power to do it. That's what it says here, isn't it? In Ephesians. And so he failed totally. First of all, he didn't pay attention. He wasn't there protecting his wife from the assault of Satan. He was closed up in the power to protect her. She was deceived. And who was at fault here? Was it the woman or man? The woman that allowed Satan to tempt her and to give her the doubts in her mind that God really didn't tell him the truth. It was Adam's fault. It wasn't the woman's fault. And so Adam took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and kept on eating it until they probably ate the roots and all. They ate it. And they would have had all this knowledge anyway, except the knowledge of sin. They didn't have to have that. All the other knowledge they could have had. They would have had. And then God walks in the garden. Here's Jehovah, Jesus incarnate. And he walks in the garden and he said, Adam, where are you? Now we know that God knows where Adam was and God knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was. And so Adam hid himself. And not only did they hide themselves, but they took fig leaves and they sewed fig leaves and made aprons for themselves. Breeches, so to speak. They had a Bible called the Breeches Bible one time. They made breeches for themselves. And they come out here, he finally comes out and he's afraid to talk to God and he's got these breeches on. That's what we call self-justification. And the first thing God says, what did you do? He said, that woman that you gave to me, she gave me. And he said, what'd you do? The devil made me do it. Adam should have been out in the front on the battle line all the time. It was his fault that the woman partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was accordingly, absolutely his fault that he partook of it and kept on partaking of it. And he was unclothed with the righteousness of God now. Unclothed. Now let's go back at this. Now, as Adam had the power to protect the earth and dominion of the earth, what he did when he sinned is he just handed it back over to Satan. And all of his children would be affected by this. And one of his children, his firstborn, evidently, what was his name? The firstborn. Remember what the firstborn name was?
Abel.
No, not Abel. Now, Abel was the second born.
Oh, Cain.
Cain.
Yeah, Cain.
Cain means gotten. Do you know what that Eve said? You know, that God promised him a Messiah in Genesis 3:15. And she thought the first child she had was going to be that Messiah because he's going to be the seed of the woman. And she said, I've gotten a man, even Jehovah. Their hopes were all dashed to pieces when this boy, Cain. Cain means gotten. Gotten, possession. The land of Canaan, this is all Cain. Cain's. Canaan. Canaan is Cain. I've gotten a man, even the Lord, even Jehovah. I got Jesus, you know. Here's our baby. Here's our Savior right now. We had this child. And then the other child was called Abel. Abel means brief. Vapor.
Vapor
or brief. Brief. Short-lived. And they had Cain and Abel, and Abel was killed by Cain. He was murdered. He was slashed. Cain was a slasher. All of them had the ability of what we have right here, right today. Be dressed up in the armor of God. The armor belonged to God. Toward or being caused to be able, you all to stand. Toward the methods. Methodios, the methods of the devil. The method of the devil. Let's stop this one right here and we'll start the next one. Father, thank you for this message from your word. Please help me as I continue to preach your word today. Guide me in that. Help me to glorify you. Father, just thank you for all the blessings you give us in this moment in time. Thank you that we all have a little share of this eternity. This time is just a marked off piece of eternity. Help us to be stewards of our piece of eternity that we live in this world, even though it's brief in time. Use your message for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.